from New York City, we bring you a new Dr. Christian story, starring Gene Hirschholt. Presented for your pleasure by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other famous Vaseline specialties. And on behalf of these products, we offer the following scene in a typical American drugstore. In walks a salesman, tired and obviously worried. He sits at the counter and scratches his head. What's wrong, mister? Bad day? You lose a big order? Things not going so well, eh? Say, it might be your own fault, you know. Take a squint in that mirror. Well, do you see what we see? Hair untidy, badly groomed. What's that on your coat collar? Dandruff scales. Well, no wonder you're getting the runaround. A bad first impression, that's it. Now turn this way, salesman. See that bottle on the shelf? Well, it's Vaseline Hair Tonic. Yes, Vaseline Hair Tonic. The treatment for dry scalp, and don't make any mistake about it. Dandruff scales, itching scalp, and hard-to-manage hair are the telltale signs of dry scalp. Men, take a tip. Comb or brush on a few drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic every morning. And before your weekly shampoo, give your scalp a thoroughgoing Vaseline Hair Tonic massage. You'll soon note the difference. No more dry scalp. Instead, your hair will be well-groomed, healthy-looking, and your personal appearance will be a plus in business. Yes, sir, Vaseline Hair Tonic makes your hair good-looking without dousing or slicking down. It helps you look your best. So ask for Vaseline Hair Tonic. It comes in generous bottles at 40 and 70 cents. But be sure you get Vaseline Hair Tonic. There's the curtain music, and the play is about to begin. Now, in addition to our star Gene Hirschholt, who plays the title role of this series, the cast of our drama, Benson's Inventions, which you're about to hear, includes Frank Butler as Buzz Benson, our youthful local inventor, as well as janitor of the schoolhouse, Adelaide Klein as Mrs. Martha Browning, our culture leader, Charles Webster as F. Bradford Hillsup, James Van Dyke as Sam Smalley, and Rosemary DeCamp in her customary role of Judy Price, the doctor's secretary. The opening scene takes place in the street outside Mrs. Browning's home, where Buzz Benson is washing a car as Dr. Christian comes along.
Oh, hiya, Dr. Christian.
Hello, Buzz. Looks as if you're keeping busy.
Yeah. Yeah, Mrs. Browning has gone to her club meeting this afternoon. She wants the car all slicked up.
What have you got there in the bottle? Not taking to drink, are you, Buzz?
Huh? Oh, this. Dr. Christian, this is the finest stuff for taking spots off of upholstery you ever saw. You just rub it on and the spot's gone. I invented it myself.
Well, I heard about that automatic tire pump and the reversible windmill that you invented, but I didn't know you were also a chemist.
Oh, yeah. I guess I sort of slipped up on that windmill, but this cleaning fluid is great stuff. You see, I've been reading up on chemistry, Dr. Christian.
Oh, I see. How far did you get in school?
Well, not very far. I was in the sixth grade when my folks took me out and we moved to that homestead up in Canada. And when I got back to River's End, I was too old to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
I say, look, I'll show you how this cleaning stuff works.
Arthur?
Oh, yes, Mrs. Browning.
What on earth are you doing out there?
I'm working on the car.
Well, get that job finished and get into your chauffeur's uniform.
Chauffeur's uniform?
Yeah. I sure look funny in it.
Don't you realize that I have to be at the club by... Oh, why, my dear Dr. Christian, how do you do?
Hello, Martha. I hope I haven't been delaying Buzz's work.
Oh, no, not at all. He'd be just as slow whether you were here or not. For goodness sake, what are you doing now, Arthur?
I sort of thought I'd clean the upholstery.
Huh?
This stuff will take the spots right off. I invented it myself.
You invented it?
Uh-huh.
Well, hurry up. If you're going to clean the upholstery, get inside the car and get busy.
Yes, ma'am.
I simply can't be late today.
What'd you say, Mrs. Browning?
I said hurry. You know, Dr. Christian, we're taking up Shakespeare at the club, and this afternoon I'm giving a reading of Lady Macbeth.
Oh, you don't say.
Yes, the sleepwalking scene. I presume you're familiar with it?
Well, I...
It's one of the most thrilling scenes, I think, that the bard ever wrote. Can't you just close your eyes and see it? Lady Macbeth walking slowly along the corridor of the castle and then suddenly crying out, Ah, there's a spot.
Yeah, but I'll fix it, Mrs. Browning.
And what is that I see?
Looks like it might be strawberry jam.
Another. Oh, damn, spot out, I say.
Don't worry. This stuff will take it out.
What? Will those hands never be clean?
I'll wash them after I get through.
I'm not talking to you, Arthur. That's from one of the Shakespeare works I'm reading for the club this afternoon.
What'd you say, Mrs. Browning?
Shakespeare works for the club this afternoon.
Oh, well, he's lucky to have a job at all.
Oh, dear.
I guess Buzz is nubbing the classics.
I've never seen anybody... Oh, please, Arthur, please don't lean against that horn.
Sorry, Mrs. Browning, I just hit it with my elbow.
Oh, dear. Now, where was I?
I think you were still walking in your sleep.
Oh, yes. Arthur, come out of that car.
Yes,
come out,
ma'am.
Immediately. Go put on your uniform. Oh.
Why, Mrs. Browning, what's the matter?
Look. Look at it. My lovely upholstery. It's ruined. Ruined.
Gee, I guess this stuff is stronger than I thought.
Well, it took the spots off, all right.
You're fired, Arthur Benson. You and your crazy inventions. Now, you get out of here.
Fired?
Oh, no, Martha, bus meant all right. It isn't damaged so much. It can be repaired.
I say he's fired. And what's more, I'm going to see that he doesn't get another job in River's End ever.
Morning, Judy.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Smalley.
Dr. Christian here?
He's in the consultation room.
Oh?
He has somebody with him now. Buzz Benson.
What's Buzz doing, having his head examined?
Buzz Benson has as good a head as any boy in River's End. He just never had a chance, that's all.
Oh, sure. He's got a great head. All he needs now is some brains in it. Say, have you heard the latest one about him, huh?
I heard all about it 6 months ago. In fact, after Mrs. Browning fired him, Dr. Christian got him a part-time job as janitor at the school.
No. This is something new. You know, he fixed himself a shop back of the furnace room, and he's working on another invention. My kid told me all about it. It's a chemical motor.
A what?
A chemical motor. All you have to do is pour some sort of chemical in it, and it will run forever. Can you imagine? My boy says he's watched Buzz building a model.
Well, what's so funny about it? If the model works, maybe a big one will work.
Oh, sure. There's only one little catch to it. The model won't work.
Oh.
A chemical motor. Buzz Benson is just a...
Shh. Huh?
Well. How's the great inventor this morning, huh?
Oh, hello, Mr. Smalley.
I'll let Dr. Christian know you're here, Mr. Smalley.
Yeah. Say, Buzz, when school lets out, they won't be needing a janitor anymore, you know. How would you like a full-time job in the real estate business?
Gee, I'd like it, Mr. Smalley.
Mm-hmm. Think you'd be any good at renting vacant property?
Well, I'd sure like to try.
Oh, yeah? Well, try renting your head. That's vacant.
Dr. Christian will see you now.
Thanks, Judy. A chemical motor.
Come in, Sam. Come in.
I just saw Buzz Benson come out of here. Something the matter with the kid?
Oh, no. We've been talking about a little business.
What kind of business would Buzz Benson have?
Well, Buzz isn't as stupid as he sometimes acts.
No, he couldn't be.
A few months ago, I found out he was interested in chemistry.
Yeah?
He'd been getting books out of the library. Of course, they're all over his head.
They wouldn't have to be very tall for that.
So I've been giving him a little coaching, and he's getting along fine. You know, he's made quite an interesting discovery.
Yeah, I heard about it.
Well, this time he's really got something.
Yeah. Huh? You don't mean it really works?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Have you seen it work?
Yes, any number of times. Always on a small scale, but all it needs is to be developed.
Oh, well, I see.
Now, by the way, Sam, did you notice in the papers...
Say, Doc, this chemical gadget of Benson's, has it any commercial value?
Commercial value? Yeah. Well, yes, I wouldn't be surprised. Yes, come in, Judy.
Mr. Hilltop is here. He hasn't an appointment, but he'd like to speak to you. He says it's important.
Everything F. Bradford Hilltop says is important to him. Well, I'll be getting along.
Oh, don't rush away. Tell Mr. Hilltop to come in, Judy.
Yes, sir.
If it's anything private, Sam, you can wait outside. I have no idea what he wants to talk to me about.
I know what he'll talk about 2 hours.
Anyway, I've got to get back. And
good morning. Good morning, Dr. Christian. And how are you this exquisite morning?
Well, I guess I'm all right.
And Mr. Smalley. Well, this is indeed a pleasure.
Hiya, Brad. Hiya, glad to see you.
A pleasure I've often said we enjoy far too infrequently in this workaday world. The stimulation of association and camaraderie. What do you say, Dr. Christian?
Oh, about the same thing, only I'd say it in English. Sit down, Mr. Hilser.
Thank you. Dr. Christian, I've come to you seeking a favor.
Yeah?
Yes. When I selected River's End as my abode, I anticipated a quiet, secluded retreat. I chose, as you know, a cottage near the school. Not by any means pretentious, but for my purpose, entirely...
Okay.
Yes. Mm. But recently the noise in that once peaceful neighborhood has caused my work to suffer considerably. In fact, I'm compelled to admit that my latest effort is decidedly...
Punk.
Precisely. It seems as if the janitor of the school has been amusing the children by making and setting off firecrackers. And the resulting uproar has been gradually driving me...
nuts.
I was about to say, to distraction.
The janitor? You mean Buzz Benson?
Yes, I mean that worthless ruffian, young Benson. I understand, Dr. Christian, that he holds his position through your recommendation. And I'm wondering if you can't do something about it.
Firecrackers, eh? Yes, I guess I can do something about it. But you don't need to worry. Buzz won't be there long. He's going to New York.
To New York?
Oh, yeah, didn't I tell you? Yes.
Huh?
I've interested some people in that discovery of his.
Discovery? What discovery?
He's invented a chemical gadget.
Oh, why, nonsense. The boy's a halfwit.
Yeah, but this time he's got something Dr. Christian has seen at work.
Is this true, Doctor?
Oh, yes, it's true, all right.
Big commercial possibilities, too.
You don't say.
Why, Buzz Benson will be worth millions.
But, well, why take the invention to New York?
Well, you see, Mr. Hilser, Buzz needs facilities to develop it.
Well, why can't River's End provide the facilities?
That's what I say. I know where I can get a factory site that...
River's End hasn't got the facilities. What Buzz needs
then
is...
Then we'll procure them.
No. Buzz will be better off in New York.
I don't see how you can say that, Dr. Buzz Benson is a River's End boy. He was born here, raised here.
And you're driving him off into the clutches of a group of predatory Eastern capitalists who'll probably rob him.
Nobody's going to rob him.
But you're not giving the boy a break?
Decidedly not. After all, the lad is one of us, one of our neighbors. We would be poor friends indeed if we couldn't lend him a helping hand.
He doesn't need a helping hand. It's all been arranged. He'll be leaving for New York within the next few weeks.
Well, maybe Dr. Christian's financially interested in this himself, huh? Nothing like being on the inside track.
Well, I trust you're not implying that my motives are mercenary.
No, but...
I'm interested only in protecting a young genius. And I protest against Dr. Christian's proprietary attitude.
All right, you go ahead and protest. But Buzz Benson is going to New York.
Oh, indeed. And did it ever occur to you, Dr. Christian, that I might be able to persuade him to remain?
And did it ever occur to you, Mr. Hilsop, to mind your own business?
My God!
Well, you don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, I do. I know all about this invention. I knew about it long before you did. In a way, I discovered it. And I'm going to keep it here in River's End.
Bravo, my friend. This is far too important a matter for any one man to control. Even our good Dr. Christian. You and I, Mr. Smalley, will take it direct to the people.
Folks, just a minute, please. I suppose all of you know why this mass meeting was called. I guess by this time you've all heard about Buzz Benson's chemical motor. And maybe you've also heard about a certain party who would like to see it developed in New York. I understand he's not here tonight, so I won't bother to mention his name. But I will say this, the motor will be developed right here in River's End. And I'm proud to present the inventor, Buzz Benson.
Ladies and gentlemen, I...
Go on, my boy, you're doing splendidly.
Yeah, I'm doing splendidly.
Tell them about the motor, Arthur.
Oh, yeah, the motor. Well, it's just a little one. The next thing I'm going to do is build a big one. This is just a little one.
Arthur has installed the model in a clock.
A cuckoo clock?
Yes, a cuckoo clock, in order to demonstrate that the motor actually operates. In the clock, there are no springs, wires, or any form of mechanism other than the motor itself. And you will all observe that the clock is actually running and keeping exact time.
Yeah, and it'll keep on running forever, and...
And I guess that's about all.
Well,
my very good friends, genius is where you find it. And I have found it in Arthur Benson. Arthur did not complete his sixth year of school. Mark you, this is not said disparagingly of our schools, for the schoolhouse of today is our bulwark of tomorrow. But the fact remains, my friend, that I am undoubtedly...
It's just the clock.
Oh, as I was saying, I do not underrate our schools, for the school bull of today is the housework of tomorrow. The workhouse of tomorrow is the bull school of today. Oh. Will you stop that infernal clock?
I can't. I can't stop it. It's gone haywire.
Well, take it outside. Take it outside.
Here. Give it to me.
No, don't. Don't touch it. Something's going to happen. Look out.
Wait. Keep your seats, folks. It's all right.
Hello, Judy.
Well, when did you get back?
On the 3:40 train. But I stopped in to see Dave Severn.
You certainly missed a lot of excitement while you were away.
Why? What happened?
Maybe you better hear it firsthand from the committee. Looks as if you're on the spot.
What do you mean? What committee?
Mrs. Browning, Mr. Smalley, and Mr. Hilltop. They're waiting for you in the consultation room.
Well, put my luggage away, will you?
All right.
I can't understand what they want to see me about.
Oh, how do you do, Dr. Christian?
Afternoon, Doctor.
My dear Doctor, we'd about given you up.
Well, I'm sorry. I've been away on a trip and...
Visiting your New York financial friends?
Perhaps in the light of recent events, Dr. Christian's financial friends won't be so friendly.
I wasn't in New York. I was called to a hospital in Chicago. And to tell the truth, I'm pretty busy, sir.
I'll put the matter briefly, tersely, and succinctly. We are here, Dr. Christian, as a consequence of the outrageous and deplorable incident occurring last Friday at the town hall. I presume you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. Do you?
It's just this. Buzz Benson's chemical motor is a fake.
His chemical motor is
a washout. We gave a demonstration and the motor went haywire and exploded.
And left me standing there, and not a fool.
But, Mr. Hilsop, you couldn't expect a motor to change that.
Well, it's high time that Arthur Benson got what was coming to him.
Yes, absolutely.
But I don't know yet what this is all about.
Well, to come to the point, Dr. Christian, we're circulating a petition to have Arthur Benson removed as janitor of the school.
And we feel that your signature will, help the cause. Here's the petition.
Well, yes, I see.
Well, are you entertaining the proposition?
No, Mr. Hilsop, the proposition is entertaining me.
You're not going to sign it?
No. No, thanks for the compliment, but I'm not going to sign it.
Well, I never...
Dr. Christian, I shall have to use very plain language.
That'll be a unique experience for you, Mr.
You have deliberately perpetrated a fraud, something which I believe is punishable by law.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
You deliberately lied to Mr. Smalley and to me. You stated that this motor was unquestionably genuine.
But I didn't lie.
Oh, yes, you did. You said you'd seen it work any number of times. Well, Buzz Benson told us you'd never even set eyes on it.
He told you that.
Precisely. Now, these facts are not known, Dr. Christian, outside of this little group.
Right.
If you sign the petition, I assure you, they'll be kept secret. But if you refuse...
Yes, I see what you're driving at.
Oh, you wouldn't want it to get out, Doc.
Arthur Benson is an incompetent and a menace to the community. And I propose to see that he not only loses his job, but is run out of town.
I see. Mr. Hilsop, do you remember coming to me for advice, and the only advice I could give you was to burn your clothes?
Well, I...
Burn his clothes?
Well, yes, you know, Mr. Hilsop has several college degrees. You'd think he'd be competent to know that the little black animal he saw in his garden wasn't a kitten.
I suggest...
Don't tell me it was a skunk.
Mr. Hilsop proved thoroughly incompetent to judge. And I might also add that for a time he was a decided menace to the community. Mr. Hilsop begged me not to mention the matter. Just as you, Sam, begged me not to tell how you happened to smash up your employer's car. You know, that time you ran into the loaded truck.
Now, hold on, Doc, hold on.
Seems to me that a man who can't miss a loaded truck on the highway is both incompetent and a menace to the community.
Well, now you see it.
And
was
Mrs. Browning, that celebrated English novelist you entertained and introduced to your friends.
I've got to be going, Doctor. Really, I.
When I discovered that he was not only an imposter, but an escaped lunatic, I kept it to myself. But certainly anyone who entertains a lunatic.
Doctor Christian, please.
Now, these facts are not known, ladies and gentlemen, outside of this little group. And so I suggest you drop this subject of who is incompetent and a menace to the community. and tear up that petition.
Well, perhaps...
Yeah, you'd... you'd better tear it up, Brad.
Yes.
You see, we've all made a slight error. I must confess, I didn't see the chemical motor. I didn't know anything about the chemical motor. What I've been talking about is a precipitation process that Buzz Benson hit on quite accidentally. It isn't anything very important.
Well, then, what about these New York financiers?
You made them all up yourself. I've arranged with a pharmaceutical company who are interested enough to give Buzz a job and teach him the business. Before you gentlemen try to steal a little cheap glory from a kid like Buzz Benson, you'd better be sure of your facts.
Oh, I see. Well, under these circumstances, no doubt we had better forget the incident. But as for my encounter with the, my encounter with the little animal, I refuse to agree, Dr. Christian, that it indicates incompetency. It's merely a mistake. On this, I shall have to stand alone.
Well, anyone who makes that kind of a mistake should stand alone.
And the curtain comes down on another story of River's End and our good Dr. Christian. Gene Hirschholt, starred in the title role, will be here in a moment to tell you about next week's story. What is so rare as a woman who is completely satisfied with a permanent wave? Before you get your new permanent, condition your hair with regular Vaseline hair tonic treatments. You see, Vaseline hair tonic prepares your hair for the permanent by supplementing the natural oils of your scalp. Now, as you know, a permanent often tends to dry your hair. But the protection of a Vaseline hair tonic treatment before your permanent will leave it soft and easy to manage. Now, here's the simple routine. Before shampooing, massage your scalp liberally with Vaseline hair tonic. Then, wring out a steaming hot towel and wrap it around your head. As the towel cools, repeat the process. Then give yourself a good shampoo. Truly, the results will amaze you. Your hair will be smooth and lustrous, healthy-looking, lovely-looking. You'll find your new permanent wave softer, more flattering than ever before. So ask for Vaseline hair tonic, only 40 or 70 cents in generous bottles. Just try Vaseline hair tonic. You'll be satisfied, yes, delighted, right from the start with your new permanent this time. Remember, you want Vaseline hair tonic. And now, we present the popular Gene Hirschholt in his most popular role, Dr. Christian. Well, what kind of story are you planning for next week, Dr. Christian?
Well, next week's story is a play with music called On Wings of Song. And it concerns Angela Donello, who won the McCary Music Scholarship offered by a leading citizen of River's End and became a famous personage. The role will be sung by Rosemarie Brancato, young American soprano. It's going to be one of our best programs, so be sure to listen in. Until next Wednesday evening, then, I'll say good night.
Good night, Doctor. Go and see Dr. Christian, played by Gene Hirschholt, in the current RKO picture called The Courageous Dr. Christian, now appearing in theaters throughout the country. Your announcer, Andre Baruch.